Three, say amen. Good, that's all the people that like to tell the truth. So we got about half of us don't like to tell the truth. But I was reading and studying and reading and studying, and I couldn't shake it, and I kept thinking it was me. And I was surrounded by people like you were this week, with work and relatives and family members, and I didn't find anybody had no good attitude. And this was to speak about the attitude of worship as our title for our lesson this morning, in case you're following along with us. Attitude of worship. The story line that we follow, one's going to be the Syrophoenician woman. I did it. Been saying it wrong all week. Syrophoenician woman. How many of y'all remember the Syrophoenician woman? When all else could fail, the worst of the worst, I know people, and I'm going to paraphrase a lot, so stay with me, but the title of the class is Your Attitude when it comes down to worship. But I know people just like you. How many of y'all know somebody that has had or currently have a demon-possessed person in their family? Ooh, that's old school, Brother Keith. They used to do that in the 50s and the 60s when we just got in. Yeah, I'm just y'all's class. Remember when we used to see devils in church a lot? I've only been in it for 25 years, and I've seen enough. I've seen a few since we've been here in Lakeland as well. We've had several families that are not regular members of our church, but they bring demon-possessed people to our church. And I asked them why, and they said, because we believe y'all have the power here to cast them out. But you guys are thinking, preparing for the class. On the other spectrum of this class, y'all remember demon possessed a lot, right? You don't hear about it, see about it too much. But of all things, how would you like to have woken up, and maybe you did, wake up with somebody that's demon possessed in your house? He or she may be sitting next to you now. I thought so. But just think about the worst of the worst. The one lady that came to mind, and I was going to use it for an icebreaker, and I'll go ahead and break the ice. She brought her daughter to our church, and the young lady would stay up all night long. She was a teenager. They couldn't get the kid to go to sleep. They'd often find her with a knife in her hand, making noise, mumbling, chanting sounds in the night and creeping in the house. Nobody wanted to go to sleep. They'd all take turns. She was an adopted kid. They'd all take turns watching the house. I guess when you adopt a kid, you can't return them even if they got a devil in them, huh? Send that one back. Can I get my refund? Well, they had her. She was an adopted kid, and that was their kid. And I was like, wow. I didn't know the kid going thrashing in the house or anything such, just to let you not leave you hanging on that. But she said she was scared of that child. Let's talk about this woman here that Jesus uses as an example unto us. She had a daughter who had been possessed with a devil, and she came down and fell down at Jesus' feet and worshiped him. Not came and gave him a love offering, not stood up and looked at him eye to eye, not rented his clothes. You gotta help me. But she came to his feet and fell down and worshiped him. Now, it sounds like if you'd been up all night, that sounds about right, wouldn't it? I'm totally exhausted. I totally had enough of this situation. I finally made it to Jesus' feet, and I collapsed because I knew it was going to be all right. The moral of the story, amen. And Mark 7:27, and Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. And it's not bad enough she's been with this demon-possessed child all night long, all week long, for years. Now she gets to the master and he calls her a what? A dog. Wow, I made it to church. I made it to the altar. How many of y'all have had trouble coming to the altar during church services? Y'all want to practice? I'm going to call y'all a dog. Y'all ready? Come on. Here we go. Altar call begins. The first one here is going to be a big dog. A dog. That's what she got from the master, a dog. And as we read the portion of scripture, she just wanted the crumbs from her angle. Okay, I'm a dog. That's good. Children eat, and y'all let the dogs eat under the children's table. Just give me some crumbs. That's all. Man, I need some help. You're the greatest. You're the most powerful. You're the almighty. I just let you call me a dog. Right? Y'all with the story? And all she wanted was crumbs. If I could just get a little, some crumbs. Not the bone, not a piece of meat, not one good bite, not a bowl full, not a little salad, not a dessert plate. Just let me eat off the floor around here and I think things will be better. When we study and we think about it, and I've had 2-3 weeks to think about it, but if I leave you just for a moment to ponder on it a little bit, what could be worse than to have the man of God or the woman of God or the staff or the team that you came to try to worship your way out of a situation and have them call you a dog? The Syrophoenician woman, when you study, you can go back to, all the way back to Tyre, way back in the day of Phoenicia. Jezebel was one of the women that came out of that city. She was the most renowned back in the Old Testament of a woman that came from that city. That's what this lady's heritage went back to. So as pious church people, when we see people like that coming to our churches, we all go, oh, well, what do you expect? You're so worldly. You ought to have 2 or 3 demon-possessed people in your house. That's what you get. Right? When the world comes into our churches, worship, praise, communion, foot washing, you don't have to have the Holy Ghost to do those, right? How many of y'all worshiped before you got the Holy Ghost? How many of you praised God before you got the Holy Ghost? Some of y'all are still worshiping and praising God. You don't have the Holy Ghost yet, and you're here today to get the Holy Ghost. That's what you come to church for. This lady's background, she was Greek. She was well-educated compared to the people of God. That's a norm. The Greek people were highly educated. They loved education. They loved to know things. She knew a lot of things compared to the average person she was around at that point in time because of her education and her culture. And here she is. She leaves all of what we would say the world and ran to a common Jewish synagogue to get called a dog and say, hey, I came to take care of my own. I didn't come to take care of y'all. Y'all are dogs. Be gone. Just let me have some crumbs, please. Something's got to give here. I love my daughter. How many of you know people that will really want to come to worship today? Just from what I said. They're in that situation. They've learned everything they could out there in the world. The world's beat them down, chewed them up, spit them out. You know them. They might even be related to you. And they would love to come to worship. Let's remember, let's not be so pious. This is not just an apostolic thing. Worshiping God is a generic thing. You can worship God at your home. You can worship God in your car. You can worship God on the spot. The persistence of a worship is the one that gets through. The persistence, the lady never quit, evidently. Church is not as always tap, tap, the safest place to be. Ah, I made it to church, it's safe. That's not always the case, is it? Sometimes just getting to church is enough. I was laughing with, I think it was Brother Chris, maybe, Brother Chris Saunier, about the new thing we're doing outside. Our welcoming committee has extended to outside. That's why I'm standing in the parking lot. It's not because nobody will let me in. Okay? When I'm in the parking lot, it's a whole other ministry outside these four walls to watch people come in. Now, I didn't. I'm not talking to y'all today because I didn't do outside. But I see when y'all coming in half-dressed, half-mad, half-fed, snatching a kid out the back seat, looking crazy in the front seat. Coming to worship! Amen. Isn't that crazy? I'll do the same thing. I told Sister Betty today, I parked the truck on the hill, walked all the way into the sanctuary, forgot everything I brought to teach today in the truck. And I hope my presentation looked good as I came in like you guys do to come into worship. Did have the Holy Bible, left everything in the truck that I needed to teach. Walked all the way into the building, turned around, walked back out. Now, I know going back to the truck didn't look like coming back to the church. So the people on the 98 got to see me leaving the church. Ooh, what they doing there? Your attitude means a lot about everything you do. How many of y'all can fake an attitude? Yes, Sister Carla's saying the truth in the back. Yes, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. We can do it. When we see sincere worshipers coming in, if the lady from Syrophoenicia would come in the doors, would we see her? Could we tell her what she's coming in for? You know, lots of times people come in and visit the house of God, right? And they do something for us. How many of you get excited to see someone that's obviously not a church regular here or a member of Charged Words come in the house, come into our house and worship God, and God blesses them? What does it do for you? It makes me really excited personally. It thrills me to all get out. I don't care what he, she, them, they look like, sound like, but if I know they're not a regular, even other church people come to our church and visit us and then get excited in here, and they, when y'all do, yeah, we do this every day. We've kind of grown accustomed to it here. You ever felt like that? Well, y'all had such a spectacular church service. Really? That was kind of in the middle. But for them, they made it to the house of God. How awesome it would be if we were at the place where we could come and worship God like this woman did. But there's a price to pay for that, isn't there? There's no, and I wrote it in my own words, there's no place like when you're in hard times where you worship. How many of y'all ever been in hard times? Like, did it have a dollar sign attached to it? Usually it does at the end of the game. I'm going through a divorce. Well, you might not be worried about getting rid of him or her. You're just worried about how much it costs. Ask your friends at work. They're doing it regularly. At least, hope, thank God we don't do it here in the church, amen, but out there in the world. What do you tell somebody? I'm trading her in. Get me a new one. It's only going to cost me about $5,000. They already got the price tag on it. I'm getting rid of him, and I'm getting me a young one. It's happening all the time around us. Hopefully you guys aren't entertaining that. But when it comes down to it, what if somebody really loved someone and they lost them to death? And they come in here grieving and mourning. It's easy to touch God in. It's easy to worship God in. It's easy to believe in him then, isn't it? You have a diagnosis of something you don't want in your body, whether it be curable or incurable. You will find yourself worshiping like that. How many of y'all worship at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? I can knock it down. Boy, if I've been up that long, we're fixing to hit our knees. I got to go to work at 5, and I've been up, it's 3. I find it pretty easy to start worshiping. I have now humbled myself to the kneel down, head down position. We're not going to compare worship and praise today, but usually worshipers aren't running around the church. It has no style. Praise kind of has a style, right? Hair up, hair down style for the sisters. Shake it loose with bobby pins flying. Thing going on, bald when you start losing your hair, guys. We don't get in that much, but we could do a little 360 holy dance. Hey, he's fixing to do something, right? We in the apostolic realm, we do have that. But worship kind of, you can worship right where you're at. Just like you are looking at me now and you're subconscious, you've already started worshiping God. From a couple of nuggets I threw out, the golly, Brother Keith must know. No, I don't know. I've just studied my lesson. My lesson is very generic. It would be wonderful to come to church of the times and have a select button on my app that says worship. Pressed it and sit back and let it ride. But it's not like that. Worship comes from way down deep inside. It's generic to all. You don't have to come to church a number of times to worship. You could come into his gates worshiping and make it to an altar. For the most part, I don't think anybody's going to call you a dog in here today if you desire to worship God in spirit and in truth. When we continue with the lesson, this lady, in her persistence, she continued to worship past the, and nothing showed probably as well. Because she was told by Jesus, okay, you did a good job. You could go home now. Your daughter's been delivered. Lots of times we expect worship and we come here and we push the button. We want to see instant results. She came here empty-handed and she left hoping when she got home that the kid was still going to be okay. How many of you have seen your loved ones be delivered in church? You've seen it took place in front of you. It's kind of like, okay, that was pretty good. It happened in church. We're going to take that in church and go home with it. But what happens when it happens at home while you were in church and you didn't get to see it? What did the lady see when she saw her daughter, the demoniac, when she got home? Did she poke her and check her? Did she say the things that antagonized her to see if she'd growl back? Did she do something that were just like, oh boy, I know when I say this, she's going to flip out. I still have teenagers at home. Y'all remember raising teenagers? There's only one or two magical words, and they just go bizarre. You just got to know the magic word. When they're two, it's no. When it's teenager, well, I don't think so. Let's talk about it. No, we're not talking about it. You think you know everything, Daddy? Y'all remember that age? Y'all have grandchildren that age? Yeah, just so did she go back home and tell this demoniac, no, baby, you're not going out tonight. Maybe the demoniac liked to go out at night. And mama's taking your favorite knife from you, too. Maybe when she got home, she saw, she worshipped all the bad things in the door. That the demoniac girl probably came to her sisters and threw all that garbage out the house. That's probably about as scary as finding it in her hand, wouldn't y'all think, parents? What is my child up to now? All of a sudden, you converted it instantly. That's what worship can do. When we come into the house and we not blindly worship, we have intentions when we worship. When you're here and worshiping God, what's taking place at home? What's taking place on the neutral grounds? What's taking place on the job? What's taking place in your bank account? What's taking place in your soul? Those things you can't see and you can't touch. But the lady, she worshiped. And she worshiped. I don't know if she cried. How many of y'all cry when you worship? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. I tend to cry because it hurts to get there. When I'm finishing worshiping, I'm usually really excited and really happy. But it's to get there. As we say in church, when I pray through, when I touch God, when I can reach the end of it, it kind of hurts a little bit to get there. I think that a Syrophoenician woman probably shed a tear or two, doesn't say so much in here. Says she was able to make it through, though, after being called a dog, after being called not one of us. Cain and Abel were used as examples. What do y'all think when y'all think Cain and Abel? I used to think two brothers. I think there's some of them, sometimes people call them twins, somebody just so much about them, but they were closely in age, I guess. One was a farmer, one was a cattleman, a rancher. Through it all, in the Old Testament, blood was the atonement. What would it take in 2019 to make us draw blood? We're not going to have a sacrificial offering today. Please don't get me wrong. But what does it take for you to bleed symbolically? What really hurts symbolically that you have to get rid of today, that you would offer up if you came here today as a form of worship? What would really, really cut you deep? Abel used to think about that probably when he was selecting his sheep. And are his sacrifices cast? Oh, it's going to be this one. Oh, it's going to be that one. Let me check the no wrinkles, no blemishes, no spots, no freckles. This is a really nice one. I'm going to keep my eye on this one in the field. This one is going to be the one I'm going to sacrifice. And he did it real glad. And maybe according to scriptures, I've heard Cain probably picked his oranges off the ground. How many of y'all been picking oranges off your orange trees this year recently, this season? They fall quick, don't they? Huh, that was the first fruit. That was the first one off the ground. Let me get this one, bring this one to church, and I'm going to keep that nice big one I've been watching on the tree for me later. Because it wasn't really technically the first one ripe. The first one ripe fell. Now, being in the orange business, we don't like the ones that come off the ground. If you were in your gardens, you probably don't want the tomato that hit the dirt. You'd like to pick it off the vine, amen? Even though we could take it and wash it up and clean it up and give it to our guest, they never knew it hit the ground. That's kind of how I believe Cain was bringing his offerings to church, his worship to church. He knew because he was selfish about it. There's a sacrifice that we would bring to worship that's more selfish than not. And this is a sacrifice that we would say we would be more honorable. Like Abel's. Today, did you think of your first fruits when you came to worship today? Tithes and offerings. Did you think of that first? I'm finding it easier now to electronically do that. If you're on a fixed income, you could select the amount and press send. That's really easy. For people, how many of y'all still like cash? Golly, what happened to us? Yeah, I know we don't raise our hands up because people think we got some on us. Yeah, I know. Just waiting to see how many of y'all got some so I can know where I go after church. The people that like to count cash used to go, yay, look how much I give in the offering with the right spirit. Y'all remember them days? Put in an envelope, write your name on it, be happy. Ooh, man, gave some hundreds today. When it's in the bad spirit, us cash people go, and that's just on the ones. Tie them in a knot, make them look big. Some fives, some tens. Oh, God, I ain't giving no 50. Got a bad spirit today. My attitude's wrong. Now, electronically, you could just select it. And it happens all the time if you're on a fixed income. And it's always going. And you got to remember now that you have to have the right attitude because you've taken care of the financial side of it, right? How many of you remember when it comes time to worship Cain versus Abel? When we pray, I was just talking to one of my daughters about it. I still like to try to pray in the mornings to keep my attitude adjusted. I still do. I talk to a few people on the phone in the mornings. Hopefully, by the time I get to talk to God in the morning, my attitude's not been adjusted very bad yet. Because I wake up and it's like the phone's blown up. What all happened in the factory at night, or it's something that happened. A lot of bad things happen at night, don't they? Wake up, oh man, what y'all were doing last night? But hopefully my attitude will stay straight in the morning times to seek God first in the mornings versus in the afternoon. Because in the afternoon, I personally find myself repenting more than praying. Do you? Usually when I wake up, I don't have a whole lot to repent about. But in the afternoon, when we start and kick off prayer and fasting this month, when we come into the evenings for prayer, check yourself how much repenting you got to do before you start praying and worshiping. Lord, I'm sorry. Get down, but forgive me, Lord. I should have said, I should have done, I should have went, and I didn't do. Give me a chance tomorrow. That's the first minute, right? 15 minutes later, you still, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, not oh my Lord. Yeah. When we take the time to think about Cain and Abel, blood sacrifice, what does it mean to you? I want to dig that one just a little bit deeper. What does it really take? It's really important for the atonement to have blood. Oh, too often, church people, we find it becomes so easy to do a repetition and get content at a level where we're good. How many of y'all are doing good today? Please keep your hand down. But how many of y'all are really doing good today? Today wasn't, Brother Keith, I'm not going down there and pray till my hair falls down. Brother Keith, I'm not going there and sob. I just got my suit out the cleaners. I'm not going and ruin my jacket. That's not happening today. You already set that pace because you're doing good and life is good and things are good. But is it really that good? As I said when I started, it appears everybody has a bad attitude when it comes time to worship. It could be bad as in a very ugly attitude or bad as in we really don't need God so much. That's a bad place to be. Amen? It's a bad place to be. I would ask you today, as we prepare for fasting and praying, to check yourself. Check your attitude. Brother Keith, I've been doing this longer than you have. That's why I'm worried. I'm worried for me and for you. Because if we don't check ourselves and be ready to produce a good worship when things are good, what are we going to do when things are bad? It's going to hurt a whole lot more. I find myself hurting to worship that it's can be very sacrificial to me. I don't want to make this like we have to. Again, in studying, how many of you remember coming to church, and I just shared this with a brother, and you came to the altar and you prayed. Nobody told you to. Not everybody, let's come in, we're going to kneel at the altar and pray. Not one of those. But on your own, how many of you used to come to the altar regularly and pray? Because it was your form of worship. When things were good and when things were bad. Well, Brother Keith, we don't have a big altar. How many of you used to kneel down in your pew since you can't walk to the altar anymore, and or you may need assistance because your knees are getting stiff, to kneel down and worship God? How many of you used to do that? I used to do it a lot, and I was tell you today, you're going to see more of it. Please don't judge me like the Syrophoenician woman was judged. But when I get involved in ministry as one of the ministers on the team, I sometimes miss my chance to worship with everybody. And when you do that, stereotypical, it appears when you find time to worship, people think something's wrong with you. Oh, I haven't seen them in the altar in a long time. Must be bad. Ooh, she's crying. It must be true. I've never seen them go to the altar before. Just think about that. This is the place that we designed as a church to prove to ourselves that we're humble. This altar is not for everybody else. We were just discussing, just mentioned it earlier, a public baptism versus a private baptism. You've heard pastors say, you could have either one. Anybody was privately baptized? We're going to have a baptism today. Yes. Yes. We're going to have a baptism today. Sister Jack is getting baptized. Amen. Sister Jackie's going to have a private worship service today. Ooh, why are we going to do that? It just doesn't sound right, does it? Because we've been in church and we've been in the system so long. Brother Jarrett McGraw and Brother Chris Sonia are going to worship today. They're going to come and they're going to kneel down. Well, they on the ministry team. Who's going to run the sound if they're kneeling down praying? Who's going to watch the sound as they worship? Is that all right, ministers? It's the Hernandez's day at the door. They're greeting, and how can they possibly have a chance to worship? You know, I've never seen the Hernandez's worship on their day of working the door. We got to allow ourselves, guys, to let some of that go, is the point I want to say when we go into the lesson about worshiping. Sister Tiffany's going to come down with her baby. Oh, she didn't sleep all night. Oh, let me get the baby from her. Maybe she wants to worship God for a while. Oh, I'm just naming names that I know I could as a ministry team because you never get to see us worship if you come here regularly. It was the last time anybody ever seen me kneel down and worship. You can raise your hand if you want. It's been a while. I have to at my house, and I have to at my job, and I have to in my truck. And I do come in prayer nights when nobody's here. But I would like us to remember as we go on in the next few weeks to corporately worship and to be comfortable and to watch our attitudes, that we be careful not to judge or be judged. Is that okay? What could it be like if everybody had a deliverance today, like the Syrophoenician woman, like Abel, that God was so pleased. The Bible says God was pleased with Abel. Is God pleased with your worship today? Well, some of us have had a chance to at home, maybe. I didn't worship this morning like I should have. I did enough to teach Sunday school, to be honest with you. And I want to use me as an example. Have you worshiped enough to come and participate in the church service like you ought to today? Is the gift of God stirring in your life right now as I speak, but you didn't worship him yet today and you know he's not going to use you? Well, it's getting quiet. Today is the kickoff if you're into the calendar years. Today is our first service for 2019, and we baptizing somebody. Church team wise, I'm excited. We're fixing to do the fast. I know I'm going to be better in February. It's not about to be better in January. I've started like I normally do. I almost drank some caffeine yesterday because I wanted to. Just because I'm not supposed to, which is a bad attitude, right? Water's already not tasting good. Brother Tim, you knocked a couple of them off yet? Starting to. How many are excited just to lose weight in January? Brother Tim and I always check each other. How many are you going for? We're going to go for 15? No, we're going to go for 12. 12 sounds better. But what's the difference between 12 and 15? One meal, two, you know? But we do that, and we're thinking that right now. Let's think of this month as we talk about worship. By February, when the session's over with and everybody gets to teach us the different angles of worship, that our attitude to kick off would be fine all month long when it comes time to worship. Those of you that live close to the church, we're going to come and pray five nights a week and on Saturday morning. And then we're back to church on Sunday. I would ask you as I close, what kind of worship can you develop this month? Can you hit the Syrophoenician woman level? Brother Keith, I'm so bad. I'm just, things are so bad, and it's not, I don't understand, and it's so bad. I don't understand why me? In a month, could you break through? If you're in Abel, and you really have your worship going on, you're really doing well right now, and it's on a high, can you keep it all month for those of us so we can look up towards you and say, I'm going to be like him, I'm going to be like her. I'm going to humble myself, the bowing down, the knees. Not a most comfortable position, is it? But scripturally, it's the most humbling position you can find. I like to come boastfully before the Lord, probably like most of you in the Pentecostal world. God, you got to do it now, because it's not right. Fix it. I'm going to stay here till you fix it. And I'm coming back tomorrow till you fix it. How many of y'all like to pray like that? I do. Most of us do if we're taught that way. Not many people teach you to come here maybe early for prayer and to find you a spot and seek God and worship him. Maybe you find your spot at home when you're not here to worship him this month. And I would like to think at the end of the month you're going to hear three more lessons on worship. That worship will come easy for you. Worship will come plain and simple for you. That you'll find that the things that you, wow, I'm better than this. I don't need to bring a Cain sacrifice here. I'm going to step it up and bring an Abel sacrifice. I want God to be happy with me. Amen? Let's all stand. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for our Sunday school class today. We ask you, God, to move in our second service in a mighty and a powerful way. We thank you, God, that we're going to have a baptism today. Lord, we ask you for those that are seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that they get the Holy Ghost today. that others may want to come in here and get baptized as well in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for our worship. Let us dig a little deeper. And may you be pleased with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In the flesh, cleanse me, O God. Lord, if I have aught against my brother, cleanse me, God. Help me to be right with you and right with my brother, God, and my sister. Lord, my mind, I pray, cleanse my mind. If my mind has been places it didn't need to go, forgive me, God. Because you died for me and my sin, Lord, you died. And we do show your suffering today as oft as we partake. In this symbolic gesture, understanding it's not the wine, the juice, it's not the wafer, but it's we're obeying the mighty dwelling word of God that lasts and lives forever. Lord, accept us, we pray in Jesus' name. And he took the cup and he gave it and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread. He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper saying, this is the cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. Let's do that now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you thanks knowing, Lord, it is you that we do remember. Thank you, Lord. I've always appreciated the presence of God that settles on a place when we obey through Scripture. Holy God, I want to praise you. Lord, I want to praise you, God. I want to thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power. Oh, I want to praise you, God, for your cleansing blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for my sins. Oh, I do show the Lord's suffering, God, in the body of Christ. Oh, I pray you heal us from our suffering, that we walk in newness of life, that we all live upright before you, God. Oh, thank you for your great presence, mighty God. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
You're the one we're living for.
Oh, yes, you are.
Holy Spirit, lead us to your heart.
If anybody needs prayer,
Jesus,
come center to the front. Anybody needs prayer in your body, come into the center front so we'll know. We'd like to pray for you.